Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good evening and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Doug McKay. And we want to wish you a happy and healthy new year. And I think as Father would wish you a happy new you as we go forward in this new year. Hopefully it'll be a great one for all of us. We thank you for your ongoing support here at Our House Ministry, or at In His Sign Network. This radio apostolate, as well as Our House Ministries, a number of folks who listened. We know you're praying for us and have helped us out a little bit financially, so we thank you for that as well, as these two ministries have worked so closely together for quite a while now. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Also, I'd like to remind our listeners that Father and I are available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. We did have one person take us up on the offer, and I have the privilege of going out to St. Philip Neri in Pottstown next month, Tuesday, February 20th. We'll be out there talking a little bit about addiction and the ministry. So hopefully we'll meet a few listeners while we're there. So we like to begin the show each week with prayer, and we'll start with the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Our Lady of Recovery.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot.
Pray for us.
St. Basil and St. Gregory.
Pray for us.
St. Elizabeth Ann Seton.
Pray for us.
St. John Newman.
Pray for us.
And St. Andre Bessette.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So, Father nailed the saints for Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. On Sunday, if it hadn't been the Sunday in the octave of Easter, we would have celebrated Sylvester the First. On Monday, it was a solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, a holy day most years, but they gave us a pass this year because it fell on a Monday. And today we celebrate the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. Before we get into it, just a reminder that you're more than welcome to call in and join in the conversation. We still have a stack of Father McKay's new books here, Anointing Echoes. So anybody that calls in for the first time, we'll get you a copy of his book. The number's here, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. We're 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Go ahead and put Frank to work today. Make him answer that phone.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll give away some
money.
We'll give away some of Father McKay's books.
Yeah. Yes. For grace.
Go yep. Grace. Yeah. So today we celebrate the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. And happy to read and learn that it was like so many of the other things that go on in the Catholic Church was really the work of another Franciscan. While the name of Jesus, of course, would be popular, even going back to St. Paul, where he would say in Philippians that name is above every name, that of Jesus Christ. It was not until later, in the 12th century, the Cistercian monks and nuns really popularized devotion to the Holy Name, but it was really the preaching of St. Bernardine of Siena, who was a 15th century Franciscan that really put it to use. And he used it as a way of overcoming bitter and often bloody class struggles and family rivalries or vendettas that were going on in the Italian city-states. So the devotion grew among the Franciscan and Dominican preachers, because, of course, Francis and Dominic were friends, and it spread even more widely after the Jesuits began to promote it in the 16th century. In 1530, Pope Clement V approved an office of the Holy Name for the Franciscans, and in 1721, Pope Innocent XIII extended this feast to the entire church. So today we celebrate the Most Holy Name of Jesus.
Yeah, you're saying like the different orders with the devotion to the Holy Name of Jesus. The Jesuits, St. Ignatius, they wanted, you know, like all the orders, they usually named them after the founder, Franciscans, Dominicans, and they were calling the Ignatians. And St. Ignatius of Loyola said, no, not after me. After Jesus, the company of Jesus, the society of Jesus, that he wanted all the stress to be on Jesus, so they get that name, the Jesuits. It's, you know, so many, you know, this Holy Name is so powerful, and yet so many people can take it in vain. You know, it's a commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the Jewish people had such a great reverence for the name of God, like Yahweh. They wouldn't even say the word Yahweh. They wouldn't even write it out. They would take the vows out. And the high priest, as he would go into the Holy of Holies on that day of Yom Kippur, after they would take the blood of the scapegoat and go around sprinkle there in the Holy of Holies, only then would he whisper the name, Yahweh. And then he would come out, and by that power of the name, all the sins would be forgiven. And they had such a reverence for God's name. And to know someone's name is really to have a power over them. And the Jewish people knew that, you know, who are we to have the power over God? And yet, it's God himself who comes and reveals himself. And you know, Jesus tells us that when you call God our Father, but it's even our Heavenly Father who gives the name Jesus through the angel Gabriel to Mary, that his name shall be Jesus because he would forgive his people from their sins. And right there in his name, it's all packed right there. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness of sins and all the blockages that are between us and God are removed, especially death itself. And then that eternal life comes to us, God's very own life, the power of that name. You were quoting Philippians at the name of Jesus, you know, every knee should bend and every head bow at that power of the name. And you look at the saints, they had such a reverence for the Holy Name of Jesus. And a lot of them, they would even die with the Holy Name on their lips. Francis de Sales, that was the last word he uttered. Margaret Mary was Jesus. Tamara, Elizabeth Ann Seton, that we will celebrate tomorrow and Thursday, that she had a devotion to the Holy Name of Jesus. And she said whenever there was any kind of discord, just call that name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's how she died, you know, with the Holy Name on her lips. And even St. Paul. St. Paul, they said that the tradition was when he was decapitated, his head bounced three times, and each time his mouth word the Holy Name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So the power of the name to really save us. And I think it's amazing when we get, I don't know, distraught or upset, angry, impatient, that the Holy Name comes to mind. It's like Jesus is almost saying to us, I'm there for you. You know, so sometimes we want to say Jesus, but then we can always make a prayer out of it. You know, Jesus, I trust in you, my impatience. Jesus, I trust in you, my anger. Whatever it might be that we're dealing with, because that's why he comes, to really remedy us from everything that is not of him, to heal us and to bring us into his heart and into his divinity. So that power of the name is a real powerful prayer. And I know sometimes, like, you know, I just want to rest, you know, I don't want to say any more words, I'm worded out, you know, the rosary, whatever, but just to sit, you know, in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just whisper the Holy Name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And even when we go to sleep at night, you can almost hear your heart beating, those two beeps, boom, boom, Jesus, Jesus, you know, and it's just so relaxing. It's a real Holy Communion that brings us right into the Lord's presence, but to pray it from the heart, not so much the mind, but from the heart. You know, Francis was one when he said the holy name of Jesus. He would wet his lips at the sweetness of the name. And there was one time when, like the elderly, they liked to whisper their prayers, and Francis was whispering his prayers, you know, by the tabernacle, kneeling upright. And someone said, go over and listen to what kind of prayers the saint says. And they went over and they listened to Francis whispering the holy name, Jesus, 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 before the Blessed Sacrament. I know at Holy Family Home, I've seen people die with the holy name on their lips, just mouthing Jesus, Jesus, save me. Even my mother, you know, when she was dying, you know, and she said the name more sweetly than anyone I knew. You know, Jesus, come get me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I love you. You know, that name is powerful. That, you know, the very name gives us a communion with him. It's a spiritual communion. If we're really praying it from the heart, it's like a heart-to-heart. Jesus, come to me. You know, and he's given us that invitation. Come to me. Stay with me. Live in me. Abide with me. Follow me. Jesus, you know, just follow him through all the messiness of this life and all the temptations in this world and all the materialism. He comes here. He's here with us to save us from all that is not of him and to give us that new life, that eternal life, that happy life, that glorious life. But we don't have anything of ourselves. And Jesus brings all the goodness, all the virtues, all the peace, the joys, the glory of heaven right to us. And all we have to do is to receive him. And it's all ours, Ken.
Amen.
In that holy name, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I think of scripture, too, the power of the name with Peter when they're going up to the temple at the 3 o'clock hour. And there's that beggar there that's from birth asking for coins. And Peter says, well, gold and silver, I have none. But in the name of Jesus, get up, rise up, and walk. And that power of the name, he gets up and he walks. I think Satan himself, all the powers of hell shudder at the holy name of Jesus, because we come to him, we're with him, we follow him. So that holy name, powerful, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Corinthians, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, speech or action, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, 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 we love you. Anyway, that holy name.
Yeah.
We should all call upon that name, you know, and make it a prayer, not just a name, but a prayer, a communion with our Lord.
Right. Yeah, in so many situations, especially in the anxieties that everyone or most people have today, to just take that minute. And even if, for some reason, as you say, Father, and I've picked up on it, that just the word itself has a calming effect. I don't know if it's because of the letters or the pronunciation, but it just seems to have a that calming effect in whatever's going on
like
in our lives.
Like the rhythm of the heartbeat.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Calmness.
Exactly. And the story you're talking about with Saint Peter, I just remember last week Sue and I were both off, and we actually binge watched a decent show. For those that may be listening, if you have Netflix, if you look up AD Kingdom and Empire, apparently it was a series that was out in 2015 in 12 hourly episodes, or each, I think each episode was about 55 minutes. But anyway, I really went through the Acts of the Apostles following the crucifixion, and was really, really well done, to the point where, you know, we saw how the apostles called on the name of Jesus, and that they, how strongly they believed. Not at first. It does a great job of showing, you know, how they were scared right after the crucifixion that something similar was going to happen to them, and half the apostles wanted to flee Jerusalem, and Peter and a couple others said, no, we'll hang here until we get orders. But really, really well done. So if you're looking for something to watch on TV that is a good portrayal, great actors, and really, I think, pretty true to the Acts of the Apostles, check out AD Kingdom and Empire. But you're absolutely right, Father. You know, when Peter calls on the name of Jesus, and we all should, because as we say all the time, you know, we can't do anything without him. Everything comes from God. And everything good that we do really is in the name of Jesus, whether we acknowledge it or not. So why not take a minute and acknowledge it?
Yeah. I tell you, in my own life, Ken, I'm constantly, you know, in my heart, just calling the name, whatever it might be, or whatever difficulties, challenges, pressures. And, you know, they're constant in the work that we do. But Jesus. And, you know, we have our enemies as well. And I remember just passing by someone and got a kind of a snub. And I just whispered, and it came out in a low tone that the person could even hear, but not that I meant them to hear, but Jesus. And I think it affected the person, you know.
Yeah.
And they turned around and said, oh, hello, you know. But the power of the name is so wonderful and beautiful, and he's always there to help us.
Mm.
The name means Savior. Save us from everything that's bad, and just to bring us into everything that's good. There's a little poem, and that Brother Charles, you remember Brother Charles O'Neill? He gave this to me some years ago before he died, a Franciscan brother. But it's titled, Jesus, Help Me. In every need, let me come to you with humble trust, saying, Jesus, help me. In all my doubts, perplexities, and temptations, Jesus, help me. In hours of loneliness, weariness, and trials, Jesus, help me. In the failure of my plans and hopes and disappointments, troubles and sorrows, Jesus, help me. When others fail me and your grace alone can assist me, Jesus, help me. When I throw myself on your tender love as a father and savior, Jesus, help me. When my heart is cast down by failure at seeing no good come from my efforts, Jesus, help me. When I feel impatient and my cross irritates me, Jesus, help me. When I am ill and my head and hands cannot work and I am lonely, Jesus, help me. Always, always, in spite of weakness, faults, and shortcomings of every kind, Jesus, help me and never forsake me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I wish I'd had that prayer a couple hours ago. As long as we're here, I just ask for all of our listeners, especially you prayer warriors that listen on a regular basis, to keep a good friend of the station here, Arlene, in your prayers. She's an older woman. She's got two grandsons that are addicted, that are living under her roof, and just a whole lot of struggles. This woman has led a pretty difficult life and impacted in so many ways by addiction between her husband, her kids, and her grandkids. My heart just broke for her, and tried to give her some suggestions, and I wish I had that prayer, because every one of those instances would apply to Arlene. So please keep her in your prayers, and especially these two grandsons of hers that could really use some help. But the first step is always to admit that you need help, and they're not quite there yet. So,
yeah. You know, when you're saying that, Ken, a lot of times that, you know, you think about your own crosses and your own difficulties and pressures, and then the calls come in or somebody's at the door and they're really hurting. And all of a sudden you just forget about yourself, you know, and it's like, Jesus, help them, help that particular person, Jesus. And you bring that person to prayer, especially with the drugs, the addiction part. I often think of the paralytic, you know, who was the four men that carried the paralytic to Jesus. And Jesus looks at the four men, the faith of the four men, and he heals the paralytic on the faith of the four.
Mm.
And that's how it is with us. It's like sometimes the addicted people, they just don't have it. You know, they're just so paralyzed in everything and poisoned in everything. Yeah, but we have the faith, and Jesus helped them. Jesus saved them. Jesus protect them. And there he is in our faith, protecting them and helping them and bringing them to the truth that sets them free. And we know the truth is, it's a who. You know, Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Well, anyway, so today was the feast of the most holy name of Jesus. And, you know, just to add what Father just said, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think that's why 12-step programs work and some of these other programs that are out there that are based on fellowship. It's because when we forget about ourselves and try to help others or worry about other folks' concerns and how we can help them, it really does take our mind off of any issues that we may have going on. At the same time, it also gives us an appreciation for where we might be. My good friend Jimmy used to share that you know, if we all were sitting in a room and we all wrote down our issues on a piece of paper and put them on a table, and we could reach in and, you know, pick out any piece of paper and take those problems instead of our own, that everybody would reach in and pull their own back because we know how to deal with them. But when you look around and see some of the horrific things that are people are suffering with today, you know, I got it well. You know, I have it really well, and that doesn't mean that I'm wealthy and things of the world. It just means I'm in a good spot, and it's all directly based and hinges on our spiritual condition. And you know, the closer we are to our Lord and understanding what who we are and what we are, especially relative to Him, that it gives us a better perspective on our own lives and the lives of those around us, and how we can be a positive force in the life of others. So, you know, get close to it. You know, if you're struggling, if your family members are struggling, you need to get close to the Lord, either for yourself or for them, because you know, when you talk to people, especially parents who have sons and daughters who are right in the thick of addiction, there's not a whole lot they can do. And Father can attest to this. Usually when we get the phone call, it's what can I do? And it breaks your heart, because if there was something you could do, if there was some magic elixir, if there was one word or phrase or one phone number or something that we could do in order to have our kids freed from these addictions, we would do it. And it's so complex and depends so much on the individual that's in the thick of it, that many times, you know, the one thing we can always offer is to pray and ask our Lord. And especially if you're a frequent listener of this show and know our dedication and devotion to the Venerable Matt Talbot, we know that he has many, many, many miracles. Unfortunately, they can't be put on paper and proven in a court of law, if you will, over in the Vatican. But, you know, certainly enlist the help of Venerable Matt Talbot in helping in intervening with our Lord and bringing about the healing of those that are addicted.
How often he called on the holy name, right?
That's
Jesus,
right.
Jesus, mercy,
Mary help.
Help.
Jesus, mercy, Mary help. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, what we can do when people are suffering, you just reminded me of a story, Ken. And if you can imagine this, it was about the devil had a time with God the Father, and he was able to muzzle God the Father. And somehow, you know, if you can imagine this, that he had God the Father muzzled, and God the Father wrote down there, "Just let me say one word." And Satan was really, you know, intrigued. Well, what word could possibly do anything, you know? So Satan gives him the one word, and the Father says, "Jesus," and it's all over for Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing we can all do, you know, when we see people hurting in our hearts, Jesus. And let Jesus do the rest, because we can't. But we give him permission, and we give him, you know, just that channel to touch people and help people. What a beautiful gift faith is, because faith really, that's what the Lord looked for all the time in his miracles. He never seemed to do a miracle unless the people had the faith.
Right.
When they had the faith, things happen.
Yep.
We got the faith. So it's like you see somebody suffering, Jesus, I trust in you, John. Jesus, I trust in you, Mary. Jesus, I trust in you, their addiction. Whatever it is, just let Jesus embrace that, and things happen, the power of the name.
Yeah, and I just want to add that you hear Father saying, "Jesus, I trust in you," and naming something after. And it's another way that he taught me to use the rosary is if you want to go around the rosary and instead of Hail Marys and Our Fathers on every bead, just "Jesus, I trust in you," and turn it over.
Yeah.
"Jesus, I trust in you, my wife. Jesus, I trust in you, my kids. I trust in you, my job. I trust in you, my car, if it's acting up, whatever it is,"
yeah.
You know,
right?
And
right.
Give it to him.
And it just deepens our faith in Jesus. It brings us to him, and we let him do it. I'm the vine, and you're the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing, and nothing means nothing. But in him I live and move and have my being. And when I'm weak, I'm strong, because the power of Jesus rests upon me.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a couple of minutes before we go to the break, so we can introduce our next two saints and then pick up on them after the break. Yesterday, January the 2nd, we celebrated two good friends, St. Basil the Great and Gregory Nazianzen. They were both bishops and doctors. Interestingly enough, we talked last night, Father, that they were friends. They were both born in the same year, 329. And Basil founded what was probably the first monastery in Asia Minor. And some would say he is to the monks in the East what St. Benedict was to the monks in the West. Really a wonderful power in the East he was. Around that time that he was preaching and what have you, was the probably the biggest time for Arianism, the heresy that denied the divinity of Christ. So he became a great defender of faith against Arianism, which fell upon him after another great saint, Athanasius, had passed away. And he was best known as an orator, would preach a couple times a day, and his writings rightly place him among the greatest teachers in the church. He was 72 years after his death in 379. The Council of Chalcedon described him as the great Basil, minister of grace, who has expounded the truth to the whole earth. And then his friend Gregory, also born in 329, kind of a late bloomer. He wasn't baptized until he was 30 years old. And after his baptism, he accepted his friend Basil's invitation to join him in a newly found monastery, and they would become lifelong friends. Gregory, too, was a defender of the faith against Arianism, and was called to rebuild the faith in Constantinople, would be his basis. And his last days he spent in solitude. He wrote religious poetry, some of it about himself. It was autobiographical and really deep and beautiful, and was acclaimed simply as the theologian. So two good friends, St. Basil the Great and St. Gregory. And just any time I hear St. Basil the Great, it brings back fond memories of a great priest. They used to be right here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, Robert McLaughlin, who was the longtime pastor at St. Basil's, a good friend of mine that came up as a kid under his tutelage at Holy Martyrs in his first assignment. So, and actually designed that church out there, I think, after some of the Eastern churches. So a great man. We're at the bottom of the hour, so we're Father, we're going to go ahead and we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll get your take on Basil and Gregory. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Hello, Father Glacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic. And this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart. And when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. we have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host for the next half hour or so, Ken Johnston and Father Doug McKay. If you haven't visited our website recently, please check out inhissign.com. I got a bunch of the shows from December uploaded, and we'll get us caught up in the next day or two. So you'll have right up until today. It's a great way to listen to shows, especially in the winter, if you can't, the signal's got coming through loud and clear, and you want to listen on your own time via the internet. You can check out inhissign.com and click on content and then podcasts and listen to the shows. You can also find both the ministry In His Sign Catholic Radio and our own show, Saints and Sinners on In His Sign, on Facebook. Come out and like us. We'll keep you updated as to the goings on around here, as well as what's going on in the Catholic world. If you'd like to donate to Our House Ministries or maybe sponsor one of our shows, please visit ourhouseministries.org to learn more about the ministry, and click on that donate page and think about sponsoring a show for us. Also like to keep you up to date on what's going on locally with the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father and I get together every Tuesday in Grace Ferry in the Annex building to St. Gabriel's Parish. The building's on the corner of 30th and Dickinson, and the entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood. Come on up to the third floor on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock for a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. We have a new unit in Norristown, relatively new. They've been at it since September now. They get together on the second and fourth Saturday at St. Patrick's in Norristown. They go to the 4 p.m. Vigil Mass and then have a meeting in the school right after. So their next meeting will be on Saturday, January the 13th. Also, the unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets at 7 o'clock on the first and third Tuesday of the month in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Tuesday, the 16th of January. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Media meets on the second Monday of the month. So they're going to get together this coming Monday, January the 8th. They start with a rosary at 6:15 p.m. in the Adoration Chapel, followed by a Calyx meeting in the brick building across the lawn from the chapel. And we also have a unit in Wilmington, Delaware. They get together every Wednesday, so they're getting together tonight, starting with 6 o'clock Mass at St. Matthew's, followed by their Calyx meeting. Their information about the Delaware unit can be found at calyxde.org. That's calyxde.org. And the Philadelphia information can be found at phillycalyx.com. Also want to let you know that on the first Fridays of the month now, beginning this Friday, January the 5th, Father McKay, and we'll hopefully get some guest priests that will come in throughout the year, but on the first Friday of each month, we're going to have Mass at 8:15 p.m., and it will include a healing service similar to what they do in Dublin, Ireland, and have been doing on the first Friday of each month. So come down this month. We're not going to be in the church. We're going to be across the street in our Matt Talbot Chapel. It's formerly the Shea Funeral Home at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. Off-street parking will be available around the corner on Dover Street. We have a lot back there that will open up. But that's going to be Mass at 8:15. that gives some folks at a local AA meeting time to get over. And the Mass is really going to be offered for those that are in recovery and anybody that knows someone that's in recovery. You know, come down and pray for their healing as well as your own healing. So we'll send reminders each month, but we're going to get that off the ground this Monday, or this Friday, rather. Also, on Saturday, January the 20th, there's going to be a Mass for the Addicted out at St. Eleanor's in Collegeville. That Mass is going to start at 11 o'clock a.m. Again, on Saturday the 20th, confessions will be available from 10 to 10:45. That Mass is being put together by our good friend Michael Collins, who has some family members that struggle with addiction. And it seems about quarterly now, every 3 months, he puts together one of these Masses. And it's moved around a little bit. It was at the Cathedral and out in Spring City. And this month, on January the 20th at 11 a.m., he'll be at... He won't be offering Mass, but he's coordinating a Mass that will be at St. Eleanor's in Collegeville. Before we go back to our friends, the Saints, we're going to go to our friend Delroy. Hello, Delroy.
Hello, Ken.
How are you, brother?
Pleasant and happy New Year, Ken.
Happy New Year to you. Good to hear from you.
And thank you very much. I receive it.
Very good. Glad to hear. The Postal Service, I think it works 99.9% of the time. I never complained about the Postal Service, so I'm glad you got our package.
Yeah, and I get it right on time. I get it on the day when my belly was grumbling when I was hungry, too, you know?
Very good.
Yeah,
good to hear.
I didn't have anything to eat, so.
Okay, any update on your wife?
Yes, I'm still waiting. And okay. I want you to keep that prayer and put tell all the prayer warrior to pray. For I'm waiting for the last call, and it's come like it takes forever to come. And you know what? I did something Sunday night. I go down in water about 8 o'clock. I baptized Sunday night.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
You were baptized?
Sunday night, yes, sir.
Very good. You've been calling for so long. I thought you were one of us. Well, you're always one of us, but it's official now, huh?
Yes. I do it a long time ago in New York, so I do it over again, you know?
God bless you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so tell what's his name? What is there with you? What's his name?
Father McKay, Father Doug. Yes.
Hello, Delroy.
Okay. Congratulations. Father Doug, keep that in the prayer for me. Pray hard.
Happy New Year
now, you know? It's getting overhand now, you know?
Very good.
Okay.
All right, Delroy, thanks for the call.
Yes, thank you. God bless you.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. So, before we went to the break, Father, given a brief bio on Basil and Gregory, and yeah. I know last night you shared a little bit about their friendship.
Yeah, you know, if you remember, I forgot the office of reading, so I had to kind of ablib that. But anyway, I just want to read some of those powerful sentiments of their friendship from the office of readings. But this is from St. Gregory, a sermon. He said, Basil and I were both in Athens. We had come like streams of a river from the same source in our native land. We had separated from each other in the pursuit of learning, and we were now united again as if by plan, for God so arranged it. Always remember that odd or God experience, Ken. But he talks about their friendship. He said that in this way we began to feel affection for each other. And when in the course of time, we acknowledged our friendship and recognized that our ambition was a life of true wisdom. We became everything to each other. We shared the same lodging, the same table, the same desires, the same goal. Our love for each other grew daily warmer and deeper. And this is an ambition, especially subject to envy, yet between us there was no envy. On the contrary, we made capital out of our rivalry. Our rivalry consisted not in seeking the first place for oneself, but in yielding it to the other. For we each looked on the other's success as his own. We seemed to be two bodies with a single spirit. And then he goes on to say, you know, you must believe that in our case, each of us was in the other and with the other. Our single object and ambition was virtue, and a life of hope in the blessings that are to come. We wanted to withdraw from this world before we departed from it. With this end in view, we ordered our lives and our actions. We follow the guidance of God's law and spurred each other on to virtue. Our great pursuit, the great name we wanted, was to be Christians, to be called Christians. And you know, that was the whole thing, that the friendship is in the Lord. You know, they spurred one another to be friends with Jesus, who was their friend, who brought them together. And like last night, I was speaking about, you know, this beautiful friendship that where Jesus says to each and every one of us, I call you friends. You know, no greater love does one have for his friends to lay down his life. And that's what Jesus did for each and every one of us. He laid down his life for me, for you, Ken, for each individual. And if it was just me or just you, he would have done it all just for you and just for me. Because of this friendship, this love, he comes to make us friends. And when you think about friends, we're not slaves. We're not servants. We're his friends. And I think about that friendship of the Lord where he talks about paradise. You know, I was trying to say to the recovering people last night, you know, we were hearing all about the saints and, you know, they're so far up. And, you know, he said, what about me, Father? I can just feel them thinking, you know, I've done all these great sins in my life and I'm so shameful and I'm so full of guilt. Could Jesus really want me to be his friend? I said, that's exactly why he came, to make us all his friends, the symbol of the church, Christ crucified between two thieves. And here is Dismas, who becomes a friend of Jesus at the last moment when he was his enemy. Moments before, he's saying to Jesus, you know, cursing Jesus, get us down off here if you're God. And then, you know, he has a conversion of heart in that instant. And then he turns to the other thief and says, we deserve what we're getting, but this man didn't do anything wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the words of Jesus, Jesus himself canonizes this insurrectionist, perhaps murderer, says, this day you will be with me in paradise. That Persian word, paradise, that walled-in garden, it means, where you walk with the king in that freshness of air, you know, besides flowing waters, you know, birds chirping and singing. This is where the king would bring people into their walled-in garden called paradise. And Jesus has taken this name. You will be with me in paradise, you know, in the verdant pastures beside restful waters where our cup overflows. So this is the real friendship. We have a true friendship in one another. It really spurs us to really be friends with Jesus. He's like the third partner of any friendship. And that friendship, you know, when we have friends, Ken, and we're friends, we know this, mm-hmm. that, you know, you don't judge me, I don't judge you, and we support one another constantly with our work and our missions. We share our spiritual journeys together, and yet that the Lord is so much a part of that, uniting our hearts as one with his. And even ending the homily last night, I'm saying, you can have gold ships and silver ships, but no ships more valuable than friendships in the Lord. And that's what it is. Everything's about to be in the Lord. He holds it all together. The Word made flesh. Jesus, our friend, forever and ever.
Yeah, and how important those friendships are, particularly the ones that are in the Lord, that you know, we push each other to grow in holiness and to be the best that we can be. And how important it is to have that friend on the journey, so that when you know, the chips are down and we're not maybe seeing the world for what it really is, or seeing ourselves for who we really are, to have someone else there to pick us up and remind us, let us know when we're headed off the path, and to help us get back on it when we need to. And I'm ever so grateful for all the folks that God has put on in my life and in my path over the years, that it, you know, has allowed to get me to get to where I am today, because I certainly couldn't do it alone. I speak often about this library that I had put together in my house, and I had all the great books, and they're all still spranking brand new. Most of them have never been opened. And I would buy them thinking and hoping that there was one paragraph in one of those books that was going to give me all the answers I was looking for. And it doesn't work that way. It's a slow or can be a slow journey that we plod along. We don't race. And, you know, it's little things. And we never get to the end, as much as we want to have all the answers and know everything there is to know. what a relief it was to come to know that I'll never know all that there is to know. With the old saying, you know, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. And what a relief that is. But to have friends along the way, like my, you know, Paul, who's been there for me for the last 23 years or so, and more recently, Father, when you and I got hooked up about 10 years ago, just the idea that we can help each other out, even though we may not be in the exact same place in our journey, that in some cases we're asked to help bring people along, and in other cases people bring us along. So that's why we talk about it often here, especially in the 5 o'clock hour, about you know, sharing those gifts that we have with each other, especially that gift of faith that may enable somebody that's struggling with their own faith to come closer to God as a result of an interaction with us.
Yeah. Friends. You know, I was thinking too, you know, we're AA meetings and people with severe emotional problems and difficulties and broken hearts, you know, whatever, and they go off to, you know, psychologists and spend a lot of money and listen to the psychologists. And what we really need are friends. You know, they say more psychological therapy takes place over the 10-minute coffee break than in all the psychologists' offices in the world, that I need to ventilate my hardships, you know, my difficulties and pain, to a friend who listens and then shares with me. That's the greatest healing of all, because it's all about love, you know, because Jesus is there, and love heals all, and love makes excuses for one another all the time. But to have that friend, that's what we really need, and the Lord is in the center of any friendship. I was just thinking, too, as you were talking, Ken, where these great friends together, like these two saints that we celebrate today, I mean, on Monday that we celebrate Gregory and Basil. But Jesus, when he called the apostles his friends, he sent them out two by two, if you remember that, that they weren't alone. And that was to build up his body, to do his great work, to build up the church. And so you see these other, you know, Jesus, when he lifts up someone to be a founder of the church, there's always like two of them. You know, you think of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, you know, someone who was really going to reform the Carmelite order, or Cosmas and Damian, two brothers, depending where you have the founders of Ignatius and Francis Xavier and other saints that were together in building this great order of the Jesuits, or the Franciscans with Francis and had Claire, you know, and Francis de Sales and St. Jane de Chantal with the Visitation Nuns. It's like the Lord, you know, he couples people together. And we need to be coupled, especially in work, and especially in the work that we're doing, you know, and salvation of souls, honor and glory of God, our own sanctification. No man's an island. No one can do it by themselves. That we need one another, and Jesus is the one who brings us all together, the mystical body. He's in the center of it all. Nothing can be done without him. And that friendship of his that he extends to each of us is able to extend friendship to each and every one, always. No one's an enemy. We're all brothers and sisters and children of our Heavenly Father.
Amen. And I had a thought, and I just lost it.
Part-timers.
Yeah, part-timers, some-timers, early
junior
onset. Yeah,
I but, get a lot of those.
Yeah, but it, but all really about the friendship and bringing folks along. And I know what it was. It was when we went to see Father Gately when he was out at Malvern. And you're talking about the other founders, and I think of him and his story about Blanche, who became a sister, and how jealous the priest was over in Austria because Blanche was praying for Father Michael Gately, and he never saw anybody pray for somebody the way she did, and how lucky he was. And I think that's what it's about. Not only do we interact together as friends, but we pray for each other and have each other's backs. And the thought came back to me, you know, the first rule of 12-step work. You know, occasionally you'll get a phone call and from somebody that needs help or wants help. And we're never supposed to go alone. You always go with two people to talk to somebody, especially if they're under the influence. But But never go alone in 12-step work. It was one of the first rules I learned early on. Yeah. So we got about 10 minutes left. If you want to give us a call, we still got a couple of Father McKay's latest book, Anointing Echoes, to give away. Number's here, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 and 888-343-2484. Tomorrow we celebrate the feast of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and kind of a local gal. Father and I were blessed after the Calyx retreat a couple of years ago that was held out at Mount St. Mary's. On the way back, we stopped in Emmitsburg there at her shrine. So a great day trip from Philadelphia and the surrounding area, a couple hours out. You can spend the day, maybe hit the shrine for Elizabeth Ann Seton, as well as Mount St. Mary's and the shrine that's there, way up on the hill. But really a great day trip. Mother Seton was really one of the keystones of the American Catholic Church. Born in 1774, she founded the first American religious community for women, the Sisters of Charity. She would open the first American parish school and establish the first American Catholic orphanage, all of which she did in the span of 46 years while raising five children. And that's what I found incredible. I mean, she only lived to be 46. And she had been married a handsy, wealthy businessman, William McGee Seton. Together they had five children before his business failed, and then he died of tuberculosis. So at 30, Elizabeth was widowed and penniless with those five children, and it was from there that she would open a school to try and raise some money. And it was really her belief in the real presence, her devotion to the Blessed Mother, and her conviction that the Catholic Church led back to the apostles into Christ that brought her into the Catholic Church in March of 1805, which she would have been about 30 years old at the time. So not born and raised Catholic, but would convert at the age of 30 and then go on to do all these wonderful things. She died January 4th of 1821, thus her feast day being January the 4th, and became the first American-born citizen to be beatified, which took place in 1963 and canonized in 1975. And she's buried there in Emmitsburg, Maryland, at his shrine. Father and I got to visit her tomb when we were there. Before I turn it over to you, Father, I'm going to go ahead and pick up another phone call. Hello, Joe. Joe, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how are you, pal?
Hello, Joe.
Hi. Hi, Father. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Good, pal. How are you?
Good.
What's on your mind?
I loved the talk, the homily last night on friends, Father. I can tell you, my whole life I've been blessed to have a lot of good friends who always helped me out when I was in my darkest times. And a lot of friends in Calyx and AA. Found a lot there, too. I had a little Abba God moment here. I was sitting at my desk, and I had a booklet, and inside are some sayings on friends. And I thought these were pertinent, because you always seem to come up with a lot of these. But let me just give you a couple. Friends are kisses blown to us by angels. And it says, what's some of the other ones here? I had a true friend is someone who thinks you are a good egg, even though he knows that you are slightly cracked.
Yeah, and that we are, pal. That we are.
And these are from famous people. Some of these are from famous people.
Yeah.
Never shall I forget the days I spent with you. Continue to be my friend, as you will always find me yours. That's from Beethoven.
How about that?
But really loved that. Really loved the talk last night, and wish both of you a happy new year and more success in this year.
You too, Joe. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Joe. You are a good friend to us.
Amen. All right, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, my friends.
All right. God bless you. And bye bye now. And Father,
what a
great friend. We actually got another call. Hello, Mercy.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Happy New Year.
Same to
Happy
you.
Happy New Year.
Hello?
Yep, you're on. You're on the air. Go ahead. Did we lose her?
I guess.
We'll see if we'll see if we can get her back.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Mercy, are you there?
Hello.
Yep. Not there. Okay. So anyway, we're talking about we just moved on to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, Father.
Yeah. Just three devotions that were really strong in her life. You know, the Blessed Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Holy Mother Mary, and the Blessed Holy Name of Jesus. You know, her favorite prayer was the Memorare, but yet, you know, she had such a devotion to the Holy Name of Jesus. But it was the Blessed Sacrament, Ken, that really drew her into the Catholic faith. And what suffering this woman went through. You know, she buried two sons. Her husband died. One son went wayward. And again, with this Holy Name of Jesus, that when she was distraught, you know, the difficulty she went through, she kept calling on the Holy Name of Jesus. And when she became Catholic, she had to go to Europe there with her husband, who was suffering from tuberculosis, who died in quarantine there. But with the Felici family and Amabilia, they were Catholic, and she was so really moved by them, and she began to experience this real presence of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament. When she got back here in New York, where she was teaching in her Episcopal church, she would go into her church and actually send her heart blocks away, you know, to be with the Blessed Sacrament, because there's no walls between us, rather than look at an empty sanctuary. And that's what drew her. And finally that day came where she made her communion. She actually counted her footsteps and heartbeats to that day. And when she wrote a letter to Amabilia, she said, it was like John at the Last Supper, that it wasn't John's head on the Lord, but it was his head on my breast. You know, that intimacy and that closeness of Jesus. And the Blessed Mother, she had a great devotion to the Blessed Mother, and she would often pray to Mary that the Blessed Mother would give her that deeper faith in the real presence of Jesus, which that really happened as well. So, you know, you put those three together, the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Mother, the Holy Name, you know, something powerful is going to happen in your soul, because that's where all the graces really flow from. You know, I think about St. John Bosco's dream. Yep. There with the two pillars. One was the Blessed Sacrament, one was the Blessed Mother. The other one was the Pope on the ship, steering the ship through the two pillars, you know, the Eucharist and Mother Mary. But just to call on that Holy Name is a communion. And Mary's Holy Name, too. We celebrate her Holy Name. You know, that those Holy Names, you know, they unite us. They put us on fire. They place us in communion with our Mother and our brother, our Divine Brother.
Okay. We're at the top of the hour, Father.
Wow.
Sorry. Time
on
flies.
The way time goes.
Yeah, time flies when we're having fun.
We never got to Newman. We'll have to carry St. John Newman over.
Yeah, next week.
40 hours, yeah.
Yep, his feast day is this Friday. Right. So I'm going to be joined at 5 o'clock by Maria Gallagher from the Political Action Committee Director for the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, so you don't want to miss that. Stick around after the break. And, Father, if we could get your blessing before we go.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, everyone, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New You. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Father. Thanks,
pal.
Okay. Like I say, don't go away. I'm going to be joined by Maria Gallagher right after the break. Thanks.